I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
105.3 FM HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's unique in America. I really have been looking for a long, long time. I don't look real hard, but I put the word out that if you know of another radio station anywhere in America that has a two-hour-long every day, Monday through Friday, radio show and has been doing it for 32 years, I'd like to know about that. But I don't think you're going to come up with anything. And in the meantime, we uns over here are pretty proud about the fact that we even have this radio station and this radio program. Thank you very much for being here. What we do is talk about food, anything you've ever eaten in your entire life, anything that you love to eat, things that you hate to eat, and everything else that goes in with that. You don't have to wait until I come up with an idea you might like, because you probably have one that's better than anything I had in my head anyhow. So share it with us. Also with us today are, let's see, I think the R is unnecessary, is Marianne, my wife.
Hi,
and
there.
And she's nicer and nicer with each passing day.
Whatever that means.
Well, would you believe it means what it says?
I don't know.
What is it with women? You can't give them. You can't go so much as give her a compliment. Mm. Well, now what are you up to, Buster?
Yeah. Okay. 260-6368. Today is National Peanut Day.
I was about to say that, and I'm glad you beat me to it.
How do you like your peanuts? Do you like them as the
boiled
Planters cocktail peanut that's salty? Do you like your peanuts as part of a mixed nut assortment?
I'm the mixed nut.
Do
yeah, that's
you
me.
Like your peanuts in the shell, just dry roasted? Or, please don't say this, you like mm-hmm. your peanuts boiled?
You know, I don't understand it either, because I've tried it before. But this idea of boiling peanuts, which is very widespread in the southern part of the United States, I don't understand what is
I know.
Being attempted
I know.
Here.
It's really, I had a boiled peanut
or a boiled
a
one,
Cajun yeah. boiled peanut.
Yeah.
Hummus.
Yeah? No kidding. Instead of using the...
Yes, it was at Reynolds Plantation in Georgia. I forget the city. But...
Georgia?
But it was really
Georgia.
Good. I mean, it was not something I would, seek out, but it was on the menu at the bar, and I thought, well, let me try it. And it was pretty good. I'm getting into unusual hummuses. I like the edamame hummus. Yes.
I'm going to write an article about that.
I like it at Bar Peters.
Bar
right
Peters?
By the station. Yeah, Bar Peters has a cool edamame hummus. Anyway, speaking of burled.
Burled.
I was at a restaurant about 2 weeks ago that was exceedingly hip. Exceedingly
really?
Hip.
Really? What were they putting out? Or for?
And it was Vietnamese-based.
Yeah.
And I was marveling at the hipness of it all. And then I asked the guy that was serving I'm trying to think of what it was that I was asking about. But he said, no, it was burled first. Mm, and I said, okay, well, that just shot all the hipness out of it right there.
Yeah, it just about does, doesn't it?
Anyway, 260-6368. Today is the birthday of Milton Hershey.
Milton Hershey, what a guy.
What an interesting story. I read this book several years ago called The Chocolate Wars.
What a great book that
and
was.
And it was about the Hershey Company and the Mars Company and how competitive these
murderous,
two were.
Murderous.
And it was really fascinating. Really, yeah, really fascinating.
And
in your piece here, you say that he, after the company was successful, he began to be more philanthropic. But you know what? He was actually, well, I guess in a way, he would be sort of an early 20th century feudal lord.
Yeah, he was pretty tough.
He had his employees living in the company property, but he built them housing and everything. So it was really, he's a fascinating guy. He's a really fascinating guy. That was a really interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is, I don't know when you wrote this, Tom, but I think it might be a little out of date because you said that milk chocolate remains the standard for chocolate in the United States. I don't know if that's true anymore.
I'd be surprised if it weren't, but I don't have any better evidence than you've got. So.
Well, I think that the health benefits of the darker chocolate,
yeah,
are sort of edging that preference for milk chocolate away, and you know, people I think are eating more dark chocolate. I mean, I've always been a dark chocolate person, so I don't know if that's true or if it's just a perception that I have. But I tell you this, mm-hmm, when I go to buy my when I go to get my fix, the $5 pound bar of 72% Belgian dark chocolate at Trader Joe's, it is always the one with the least amount of units there.
Mm. Units.
And is often so sold out. They have like four or five different kinds, and that's the one that's always got the least amount. Sometimes it's been sold out. There's been nothing there, and I have to come back.
That actually happened about 2-3 weeks ago when my daughter, who you probably know, is in fact a person who is
baker,
baking and baker, and does candies and all kinds of stuff. And she told me a few weeks ago that she had a real hard time getting her hands on some dark chocolate.
I know. This is like I wake up nights in a cold sweat thinking that my chocolate could run out. Tom, it's also the birthday of Mel Torme, which I think absolutely calls for a song.
Yeah, this is one of his best songs, I think. It was, let's see if I can remember it.
I'll read, while you're trying to remember that, I will say that he is one of the all-time great singers of the Great American Songbook, singing professionally by the age of, what? Singing professionally by the age of three? Wait a second. Who's hiring a three-year-old lounge lizard?
Hmm.
What?
Okay, here we go. This is Mel Torme as I hear him. As a matter of fact, this was the first time I ever sang in a bar. I used this song.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Let's see if I can remember it again. It was. I'm ready. Wait. Shh.
Okay.
Yeah. Blue. Ba 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 dang a dang dang a ding a dong ding blue moon. Both of them were songs called Blue Moon.
Wait, but that's not.
That's clever.
But Mel Torme never sang that, right? No.
He did sing the first one.
Yeah, Blue Moon, You Saw Me Stand, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the way he did
it. But not the one you just sang.
He did it on kind of a low ball sort of rhythm to it. What a great voice, and also somebody who did scat singing quite a lot.
Oh, you love that scat singing.
Oh, yeah, I mean, how I love that sad.
Tom does scat singing for the grandchildren, and they both just stare at him like he hit his head or something. They have this look on their face like, help me, Mommy.
I cannot deny this.
No, it's true. It really is. It's a little disturbing when Tom starts doing that with grandchildren.
I had lunch with Mel Torme once.
Uh-huh.
Over at the Roosevelt Hotel. He was performing there.
I know, you said you didn't like him, right?
Personally, I don't know. I couldn't take. He didn't seem to be all that friendly a guy, but he was a great singer.
And I'm trying to think of who I. Oh yeah, I was thinking who I met once, who was a really hilarious comedian, who was a dreadful human in person.
Mm. And, oh, there's a lot of that going around.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, yes, I thought you would be. I thought you would want to take the opportunity to sing.
Without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. Oh, we got a real one.
A real what?
This is it, same song.
Oh, Doug found it. Thank you, Doug.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't too bad.
No, that was good, Tom. That was really good.
Swim in my heart.
Okay.
And a love of my own. He liked long notes.
Okay. All right. Well, happy
birthday
to
the
now deceased Mel Torme. We are talking about, you know, the usual, anything you want to talk about. We were talking about conch in the first hour and Cavender's Greek seasoning. And in this hour, we threw out the idea of peanuts. How do you like your peanuts? Do you like them in the cocktail? You know, I like them any kind of way, actually. But the dry roasted, unsalted version in the little planter's jar is my least favorite, although I'll eat them because I love peanuts. I think that raw peanuts are not all that great. I think that dry roasted peanuts in the shell are fine and kind of too much trouble, but probably not a bad thing. Bad way to eat it because it'll slow down the consumption of a highly caloric food like peanuts.
Mm.
But my favorite way is just the regular old Planters cocktail peanuts, heavily salted, shelled, and ready to inhale by the handful, which is kind of the problem with them.
Uh-huh. Well,
anyway, I'm really disappointed that they pulled them off of airline flights because I used to like to eat peanuts that way.
Hmm. Well, you got to eat something on the airplane.
Yeah. Well, now they have Cheez-Its, which I also really
I like
love,
they,
which
they
I
have,
don't like to eat.
On Delta Airlines, there is
your cookie.
The cookies, right?
Biscoff.
Biscoff, which is a mixture.
I'll get you some this week, Tom.
Oh, you will?
Yes.
Because I can't get them in the grocery store anymore.
Wait, you can't?
I've lost my sources.
Oh, my goodness. I've backed off of hoarding them on flights because I knew that you were getting them in the store, but no.
No, I can't get them anymore.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, if my bag gets lost or no, I'm not checking a bag. So anyway, I was going to say they also have them when they also have them to appease you when your bag gets lost. You can help yourself to the snacks.
That could be.
Did a big haul once like that. Anyway, Judith Vorst, is that how you say her name? Judith Vorst. It's a strange way to
I never heard of it. I don't
think. The novelist.
Anyway.
Oh, Judith Vorst.
Judith Vorst.
No, V I O. Yeah. Okay, anyway, she has a great quote. You have a great quote in here.
Okay.
Strength is the capacity to break a chocolate bar into four pieces with your bare hands and then eat just one piece.
Yeah.
That is strength, I have to say. I do not have that kind of strength. You do, though, Tom. You can eat one potato chip. You can open a bag of potato chips, eat one potato chip, and walk out of the room, leaving the entire bag there for either me to eat or to go in the garbage.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
I can't quite tell. It's a bad thing if you don't like wasting food, which I don't. It's a really bad thing if you don't like wasting food enough to eat the rest of the bag, which I do. But it's an impressive amount of self-control, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Yeah, sure. I mean, how can you stand back and just watch it?
Yeah, I mean, it's especially like a great salty, here we go with the salt again, a great salty potato chip.
We have one other little thing to consider, too. This is a totally different source. Today, I think, is the birthday. Yeah, it is, in 1938, of Judith Martin.
Who love her.
Miss Manners is
Do you remember the quote you used to give me about her all the time?
No, what was it?
You used to quote Judith Manners. Is it Judith Manners?
Judith Manners.
Judith,
right.
What's her name?
Judith Martin.
Judith Martin. You used to quote her all the time.
Yeah.
Having to do with weddings. Do you remember what you told me that she said about weddings?
No, tell me.
The groom is.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Much...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The groom is pretty much
superfluous.
Superfluous, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because it was a groom who was complaining about the fact that everything was going on, all the parties and everything for all of the bridesmaids and such, and thought he was being cheated. And Miss Manners set him straight.
Yes, true.
I think we're being given a break here.
Yes. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello, it's the food show, and here we are. What's today? Today is, I think,
Monday, the 16th.
It's still Monday? How is that possible? I guess so.
Tom gets confused because he takes so many naps during the day. He's not sure when the day's turned over.
Oh, well, I get a lot done in those naps. I keep trying to convince everybody of that.
I know, but no one ever listens. I'm sorry. 260-6368 is the number. We have had kind of a busy show today.
Very busy.
We've talked about conch and about Cavender's Greek seasoning.
We're still looking for a recipe for that.
Well, you don't. It sounds like all you have to do is take your entire spice rack and dump a teaspoon of everything together, and you have Cavender's Greek seasoning.
That should do it. Yeah.
Which is great. But you know what? I've decided. I've gone. Well, no, that's not true, because I really do like the saltiness of Cavender's Greek seasoning. I was going to say that what I'm doing now, when I want to make a salad that's just really Mediterranean-like, I will take olives and pit them and chop them up. Not really, really small, just kind of chunky. And take, you know, I go to these olive bars at the supermarkets and I get olives, but I make sure to get the juice of the olives in there too. And so I kind of use that as a salad dressing because it's got that olive flavor, which I really love.
Yeah, you know, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
And it's the flavor is not just the chemical sort of.
Well, it's a salt thing too. It's another salt thing too. Well, I put lemon juice and the olive juice and.
Yeah, it comes through.
Yeah, and it's good. It's
very
really good.
Nice. Yeah.
But I like the saltiness of the and sort of the grit also of the Cavender's Greek seasoning, and with some feta cheese, that's just yummy, yummy, yummy. We had some yummy stuff today at Don's Seafood Hut. We had a they have a cast iron skillet that's really made for Abel Skivers, the Danish pancake.
It looked like if you were going to get a black iron skillet.
Or for poaching eggs, you could do that, I guess.
Black iron skillet, take the handle off, and make pits in the middle of it for whatever you're trying to cook. But in this case, it was started off with some shrimp, and then we moved to doing it with oysters, which you got to know has really appealed to me. And you put it in the oven, and this really heavy iron just holds the heat, and as you add the other ingredients, it just kind of like...
Well, they had this big cheesy thing that had, I don't know, I guess bacon in it and a lot of maybe different kinds of cheeses on top of shrimp. And it was really good, but it was the Abel Skiver pan, which I thought was kind of cool because I've only
Abel
seen
Skiller
that one
pan,
other place, and that's Toast, where they actually are serving Abel Skivers, which are a rolled Danish pancake, and something you should try for sure if you have not had that.
I've never heard of them. Tell me about them again.
It's a rolled pancake.
It's a
Danish pancake. It is rolled, and then you fill it with things, and it's called an Abel Skiver. Abel Skiver.
I like the name of it.
Yes. And you can get them around town, just one place that I know of, Toast. I'm sure there are probably other places, especially if any other restaurateur has been there to have them, because they're really good. And then, so we had this with shrimp in that same kind of pan, and that was good. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. If you, oh, Stevia is all there. I'll let you talk about that after I'm gone, Tom, because I know you love yours.
After you're gone?
I know how you love your artificial sweeteners, your chemical sweeteners.
Mm. Well, yeah. Stevia would not be.
I know.
That's not
so
artificial.
Stevia is real. But yeah. You can talk about that later, because I have absolutely no interest in talking about sweeteners of coffee and such things.
Do you drink coffee?
30 years, Tom. 30
okay.
years.
Well,
that's my answer to that.
I didn't want to offend.
260-6368. We have an Eat Club coming up that I want to mention.
We do.
First Eat Club in a very long time. Now, folks, you have asked us umpteen times. Every time we are out somewhere, the question will inevitably come up. When are you doing another Eat Club? And the answer to that, we have an answer. It used to be where we didn't have an answer for that, but now we do have an answer, and that answer is...
Yes.
Yes is correct. It's on nomenu.com, and it's like three or four stories down. It's the Eat Club is back, is the name of the story. It's at Middendorf's in Slidell on Thursday.
Not to be confused with the one over there in Laplace.
The 26th of September.
Yep.
Thursday, the 26th of September. Middendorf Slidell. It is a fantastic menu. It's like the horse Pfeiffer sampler. It's an appetizer course of fettuccine Alfredo. It is a middle course of the fried catfish, the crispy, thin fried catfish that they sell 85% to 15% over the fatter catfish, so thin, crispy catfish and shrimp. And then the third course is a sampling of Oktoberfest, Sauerbraten, Wiener Schnitzel, pretzel, and sauerkraut. And then the fourth is a German chocolate cake with vanilla ice cream. That is $75 all-inclusive, Middendorf Slidell. You have to call the restaurant to make a reservation. The number is 985-771-7777.
771-7777?
Uh-huh. They make their numbers easier. The one in Manchac is 386-6666. So they make their numbers easier for you, easy for you to call. That's Middendorf Slidell, first Eat Club in a long time, a week from Thursday.
But there's another little piece of info here, not very useful, but just a huh kind of thing, and that is the very first Eat Club dinner we ever did back in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah, that's quite a coincidence.
It was Horst Pfeiffer who did it. But he was in his own restaurant at that time, up in the French Market.
Well, he's got his own restaurant this time. It's just a completely different kind.
Yeah, totally, totally different thing. And he was doing this back then, and now again, the presence of
fettuccine.
Fettuccine, but also they are doing some. One more thing that's in there.
Oktoberfest
is. And the pasta and all the other things, and the fried catfish too. Let's not forget that. But also all of these German dishes, and done as well as you'll ever find anywhere else in New Orleans. Horst, that's his.
He's German, so.
He's German, yeah. So
classically trained German chef.
So call the number. Let's see if I got it right. 985-7777.
Nope.
No.
There's a one in there, 771-7777.
Okay. I think they make these just to
irritate
people.
It's not that hard, Tom. 771-7777.
Okay.
You're still trying to get the number down, folks. I'll say it again, 771-7777. That is a 985 area. That is a week from Thursday, the 26th of September.
All right.
First Eat Club, so hope you join us.
And if you've never been to one of our Eat Club dinners, the way they work is very simple. You go to the place of the restaurant, you sit down, you eat, you drink, and you have a great time.
Meet a lot of new friends.
Meet new friends for sure, and it's delightful.
These have been so successful for us that they morphed into cruises, and it's like the whole thing came to a screeching halt, and now due to popular demand, we are going to bring back the Eat Club dinners. Not the cruises, but the Eat Club dinners. So yeah. This is your chance. Right. Let's jump on it if you want to do that. And then the next
Hope
time.
Hope to see you.
Yes. All right. So let's see. On the table is conch, Cavender's Greek seasoning, yep. peanuts, chocolate. Anything else you want to talk about?
I hear that Stephen is here.
Stephen. It wouldn't be a show without Stephen. Hello, Stephen. What is on your
Hello.
List today?
Good. I stopped to see Chef Duke on Friday. He was supposed to have health inspectors on Wednesday, and they didn't show up, so he doesn't know where he is and getting
yeah.
open.
Yeah.
Okay. You
Stephen
about...
is like our little reporter on Dabs,
okay.
Chef Duke's new place. Thank you for giving yeah. us an update.
Tartar sauce. Kraft makes tartar sauce, and people buy it by the gallons. That's why. But Deanie's makes their own tartar sauce, as far as I know.
You know, okay. I think there is an excellent chance that I am never going to set foot in there again, so I'm probably not going to get to taste that.
Okay.
To taste what?
The tartar sauce at Deanie's.
Oh.
I think your salad that has a gritty salt taste may be sea salt that
yeah.
they put in there.
I would definitely
say big and crunchy
say,
and maybe doesn't dissolve.
Okay, that's probably it. Because the places I've had it are really hip places, which is the kind of place that you would see sea salt instead of regular old Morton stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Let's see. Boiled peanuts. They sell them every day at Racetrack. You can dip them up by the cupful, or you can buy a gallon can of them.
Good to know, I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you like boiled peanuts, Stephen?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
No.
Anybody who wants to try that hummus recipe, if you were to take the boiled peanuts and use them to replace the garbanzo beans. I guess that's how you do it.
Yeah, okay. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to Hershey, Pennsylvania for my annual car show trip.
I know.
And they have all these, you know, I don't know if he ever had any children. I have run into his nephew that's a midget. Or a dwarf, or whatever we're supposed to call them. But I don't think they had children, so they had orphanages. And they had a lot of them until one of the former orphans became an attorney and sued him because he would get the boys up and send them out to milk cows for part of their keep. And they didn't pay them, but, I mean, they gave them big brick houses. And gave them these places to live with parents and, you know, did great things for these kids and educated them. And but then they closed it down after this attorney sued them about
of
the
course.
Kids
yeah.
having to milk the cows.
Typical American story. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, he was quite a visionary and a social engineer in a way that I approve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, can we set this up so that when Tom sings, he has at least a quartet behind him to back him up?
You know, I used to do that. I used to do barbershop quartets, and they're a lot of fun.
Well, you know, Daniel, the gourmet cellist, is coming in for me on Thursday, so maybe I'll tell him to bring his cello, and he can be the one string instrument behind Tom.
Oh.
But Tom doesn't sing cello music.
No, he doesn't. That's true.
Well,
you said a string quartet. I'm assuming that's classical music.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I don't necessarily mean a string quartet, but a quartet of musicians behind him, because everybody sounds better with a band behind him.
I told Tom he should cut a CD of Christmas music last year, but he didn't do it, so I can't help him.
Well, you're only going to sell 10 copies.
What would you, I don't offer coming to
don't
your house and singing.
Say that to Tom.
Although it's not a bad idea.
Oh, God. Oh.
If things get really tough on the radio.
Okay, Stephen, are you getting toward the end of your list? Because that one I would strike off your list. Go ahead, what?
Okay, that's it.
Okay. All right. Take care, Stephen. Thank you. 260-6368, time for another break. You are listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello, you're listening to The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We've been on the air since, 32 years. And it's great to be here with you talking about the food scene around town, in your kitchen, the place that you used to live a long time ago, candy bars you've eaten before, drive-in theaters and the popcorn they had. If it was good food, or even not so good food, but interesting food, it would be terrific if you were to give us a call. It doesn't have to be a big, long thing. It doesn't have to be all that thick and philosophical. We just want to hear from you. 260-6360. And the reason for that is 68. I'm sorry. I knew there was something wrong with that. 260-6368. Just call on in, and we'd love to hear what you have on your mind in your eating habits. And let's see, we have a lot going on involving Mr. Hershey of the Handy Candy Bar. And we are also talking a lot about peanuts for some reason. I found an ongoing thought channel, is I don't know what else to call this, about peanuts. It just goes on and on and on and on. There must be something else in here we can get out of. There was one other item that was a little curious. Let's take a look at it. The Gourmet Gazetteer. A gazetteer is like an encyclopedia or a dictionary, but it's different in that it talks only about places, so mountains, cities, you know, things like that. And so what we have here is a town called Mount Eaton. Now, the reason the food connection is there, I think you will see. Mount Eaton is in the wooden foothills of the Sierra Mountains in central California. It's about 50 air miles west of Yosemite National Park. It rises to 3,134 feet, which is getting up there. The Tuolumne, I don't know how to spell that. I don't know how to say this. T-U-O-L-U-M-N-E. I can kind of read that and think it has something to do with light, but I don't know what. So anyway, if you know how to pronounce that, would you call and share that with me? Thank you. That would be very nice. T-U-O-L-U-M-N-E, the Tuolumne River, runs along the eastern flank of Mount Eaton. And what else do we need to know about this? Nothing really, but you need a four-wheel drive to get over the summit and anywhere in there. The nearest restaurant is only a mile and a half away from the Longhorn Steakhouse in the town of Tuolumne. And it's spelled two different places here. So Tuolumne. Say it again. I didn't.
Okay, it's Tullahoma, incidentally.
Tullahoma.
Yes.
Okay, Tullahoma.
That's how you pronounce that. And we have Sal on the phone right now.
Sal, welcome to the food show. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for having me. Just wanted to chime in. I'm not sure if y'all touched base on this little bit of trivia about peanuts. But something I learned not long ago, probably about maybe a year ago, that peanuts are not actually a nut at all.
Not at all. It's a root.
It's a legume. It falls in the legume family, such as red beans, black-eyed peas, white beans, and all of those. Mm-hmm. And I also learned that it has inflammatory properties that can cause inflammation of different problems in your body, joints, muscles, and aches and pains of that nature. So.
Yeah. Stay away.
Just wanted to chime in and share that information with y'all.
Well, thank you very
That's
much
all I
for
have
that.
Today.
That's very helpful.
Thanks.
Well, I think so. There you go. It's the food show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice.
Incidentally, not only was it the National Day that Marianne mentioned, but it's also National Guacamole Day.
National Guacamole Day.
Yes, and that's not all. It's National Cinnamon Raisin Bread Day today. And for those of you, who don't cook at all, or, you know, it's National Play-Doh Day.
Play-Doh, yeah. Remember Play-Doh when you were a kid? Oh, sure you did. No, maybe. Would you care to have any comments on the subject of guacamole? And if not, I do. There used to be a Mexican place that I thought was pretty good, never brilliant, but pretty good. And its name, if you translated it from the Spanish, came out something like the Four Guys, or it was something like that. And it made a reference to four people who actually did own the place. They had four of them, partners in the place. Anyway, why did I bring that up? There was a reason behind that.
Guacamole.
Guacamole, right. And anyway, one of these chefs at this place told me that the way to eat guacamole, and he had a restaurant, and we were doing a TV show. I haven't worked much in television over the years, and I never wanted to, because I have a face for radio. But at that time, he said, here's how you make guacamole. You have to do it this way. And he made it clear that you don't squash it all into some sort of complete puree. That's not good guacamole. You want some chunks of it in there, not so big that you are eating them with a fork and a knife, but just enough that it kind of blends, the pieces blend with one another. And you also have a little bit of garlic, but only a little, some olive oil and only a little bit of that. And then you have your hot peppers. You don't want to overdo that either. And then you have onions. The onions are chopped at the same size, more or less, as they were with the other part of this, with the
avocado.
Avocados, yeah. And then you do all of that, and you realize you have a really great guacamole. I have it somewhere in my files here, but my files, you probably heard us complain.
Your guacamole recipe is delicious, but it is that pureed thing. And while I've seen that before, you know, it's funny because two different kinds of guacamole are popular right now. The really chunky one, which has very little in the way of inserts, you know, anything added to it. It's pretty much the avocado.
The thing, and that's it.
Yeah. And I see that as kind of a puree by itself, which I don't really understand because it's not much effort. But I also see the guacamole that is chunky with maybe a couple of things in it, like, well, of course, jalapeno, cilantro. You know, it's funny because I'm thinking about that guacamole
that
I just mentioned.
Cilantro, that's essential.
Well, it is to us, but there are people who don't like cilantro. But
I know. They all say the same thing, too.
Which is it tastes like soap. And it does.
Like soap,
I can see that. I now can see that. But you have the cilantro, you have the onion, you have the tomato, you have the, let's see, jalapeno, and I think that's it. Like four or five different ingredients, and mixed up in a very chunky way. That is the way I'm usually seeing it now, and I like that better. I like very little done to the avocado. Problem with guacamole that isn't homemade. I mean, the problem with guacamole that is homemade is that if you buy an avocado, you really need to plan to use it that day. I'm finding
Amen.
With avocados that the reason that you see them for $4 for $5 is that when you open them, they're moldy on the inside. So they really go bad very, very quickly. So I guess the thing to do is to just get a guacamole out where they're constantly on top of that, and they use them every day, and so it doesn't happen. But I find that avocados are not like some other fruit where it goes it goes straight from hard to mushy and mealy and inedible. In the case of avocados, it goes straight from hard to one good day where you have to hit it right, and then moldy on the inside, brown and moldy. And it's
nobody wants that.
No, I mean, we buy these avocados that are four or five of them at one time, and then you look at them 2 days later, and you just can't use them. We let a lot of avocados go bad. So I've decided the best place to eat guacamole is in a restaurant.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. As long as we're talking about this, there's something that has caught my eye here. Stevia. Today is supposed to be Stevia Day. Did you bring up something about that?
I did earlier. I was going to say that you should do that after I'm gone. I think I'm going to just stay.
Oh, yeah, just stay with us.
Yeah.
We don't have that much longer to go anyway.
I know. Okay. All right. 260-6368 if you would like to talk about whatever it is that you might like to talk about. We went to Coffee Rainy over the weekend.
Oh, yes, we did. It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, and I know you don't like Coffee Rainy, but I will tell you that, that's probably why we never go there, because every time I go there, I go, why don't I go here more often? Because it's my kind of place. It is, it's chickified. It's definitely a chick place.
Yeah, I can see that.
And it's got the big salads that are gorgeous, and you know, it's got the nice sandwiches. But everything I saw on the tables looked really good. And we went to brunch, and I put that in quotes because it's more like a breakfast. I don't really see a difference in their brunch and any other day. But you had a breakfast sandwich, and I had a quiche. But their quiche is made in a really interesting – it was delicious. It's delicious. And it had no crust to it.
I like them that way.
Yeah. Well, they bake them in a muffin tin. And it had sort of a crust that was, you know, well-cooked egg was the crust. But it was really tasty. I thought my quiche was – I'm going to tell you, this is not something that happens to me very often. But I have thought about the quiche since then.
Hmm.
And that is something that is very rare for me.
I'll say.
Yes, it is. And I will go back there before – too much time passes to go and have another one of those quiches. But there's so many other things that I would try on the menu, too. You, Tom, will not be dragged there. You have my assurances. When I told Mary Lee how much I enjoyed it, she said, oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because I love Coffee Rainy, and you all won't ever go. So it's you that won't ever go, so we'll just leave you.
Oh, golly, I'm always getting pushed off to
one
side.
Yes, I know. I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that you're a pain in the butt. I mean, it could. It's just a thought, you know. 260-6368
is
the number. So we also had grits, which were not good there.
Not good.
Not good there. Put thumbs down on the grits.
And also, they're a little too busy for my likes, because – not that I mind that they make some money, but they will make you wait a while to get
there. Oh, it was very slow. But you know what? There's something else about Coffee Rainy and that experience at Coffee Rainy that I want to bring up maybe tomorrow as a subject to talk about.
Okay.
We had two tables. There were two tables. First of all, the place was packed.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to sit someplace where there was some natural light to take some pictures for nomenu.com. So there were two tables, one which had a good view from the window, good light coming in. And then there was another table that was literally like 2 inches from our table. Okay, so we might as well have had a table of four, but it was actually set out.
You might have had the guy in your left.
It was actually set out to be two separate tables. So the question that I'm going to pose tomorrow, this is too late to go into today, because I hope we do get some calls on this. How do you feel about restaurants where you are seated so close to the next table that you might as well be at the next table with strangers? Does that bother you? What happened yesterday was this guy came in with a book, and he said, "Do you, is anyone sitting here?" And I said, "No." And so I figured that he was going to sit next to Tom because that was the obvious place. It was right next to the door where he came in. But in reality, he came over and sat next to me, which blocked the light and nullified the whole point of us sitting there. So he said, "Do you?" And I started looking around to get a better seat for the light. And he said, "Am I bothering you by sitting here?" And he wasn't actually bothering us by sitting there. It was just a light thing. Yeah. And I said, "Well, do you mind if when the food comes, would you mind standing up so that I can get this picture?" Which is why I sat here. Anyway, he was, you know, he's a cute little old man, and he had this book, and he dove into the book, and you know, just because he was sitting like literally shoulder to shoulder with me, I felt compelled to, you know, be sort of welcoming. And so I said, "What are you reading?" And he said, "A book." And I thought, no, oh, well, then I guess he doesn't really want anyone to welcome him. And he wants to be ignored. So that's what I did for the rest of the time. But it's hard to ignore someone that is sitting literally shoulder to shoulder with you. And I just feel it's an uncomfortable situation for a restaurant to put a person in.
It's actually a very simple thing. And it's called Delta Airlines.
Well, it's usually not that bad. You know, it's usually not that bad. I mean, I go to places all the time which have little two tops that are probably, I don't know, 6 to 8 inches apart. But this was, I'm not kidding. I was sitting right next to this guy, shoulder to shoulder. And it was, it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable. And I don't usually get that feeling that it's uncomfortable. And I mean, it wasn't like the guy or anything. It was just like, I just felt that was too close. And I thought that was probably a table that should be put together as a four top and not two top. It was not a two top. Anyway, I would love to talk about that tomorrow. If you have any thoughts about that, it's too late to go into it now, but just sort of throwing out the subject for tomorrow.
Why not?
Yeah.
It brings to mind other episodes along this line, the most famous being Chef Paul Prudhomme's situation when he first opened up in the French Quarter. They had what they called community seating, I think. It was something like
that. I don't mind at all, because you are literally sitting next to someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's no mistaking it. You can or cannot. It's like sitting at a bar. You pick a seat. And you can sit, you know, right next to someone if you want. Although it does present kind of a problem if you see someone and you don't really want to sit next to them, for you to keep a space between you and the person that you would be sitting next to. That's why if I'm at a communal table, I like to be the first one there, and then I don't care what happens after that.
Hmm.
But I do like communal tables. We first sat at a communal table at Justine on Valentine's Day when you assured me that there was no earthly way we would get into Justine on Valentine's Day.
And what happened?
We got into Justine on Valentine's Day and sat at a communal table and had a great time with people that were coming in from out of town who were very, very interesting people. So a communal table can be kind of fun sometimes.
I should have failed. I mean, I should have. Never mind.
260-633. It's too late to even give out the phone number. So I will mention that later in the week, I am heading out, and on Thursday we will have Daniel, the gourmet cellist, on with Tom, and then on Friday we will have a person who has become sort of a familiar voice to the food show, Miss Allie Lofton of Lofton's Oysters. And I know that both of those two people are highly capable of sitting in my chair, and so that's who will be here. And then on Monday, of course, I will be back. But that is the program for the rest of the week.
Wonderful. It's been a pleasure doing this, as always, and look forward to next time we do it.
Which will be
tomorrow.
We have a guest tomorrow. We have a guy named Joshua Noik from the UK, and we are going to ask him to be sort of a culinary Alexis de Tocqueville, ask him to tell us his opinions of New Orleans on his first visit, and I want to ask him about London. And that's it for us tonight. I am heading out. WWL 105.3 FM HD2. Have a great evening. Good night.